We're looking at Proverbs and the wisdom for wedlock. And I had the opportunity to meet with Liz Joy, who's running for Congress this past week. And it was interesting, the discussion as a Christian running for office, she focused on the underlying spiritual, family, marriage issues that are impacting our culture. So much focus on the superficial, right? I hate to say it, call legislation superficial, but relative to the spiritual, moral, marital issues that underlie the family and the impact on our culture, it doesn't compare. You can't legislate people. You have to train them up in the way of the Lord, which we get from Scripture. So next week is parenting, by the way. Wisdom for parenting, but today, wisdom for wedlock. Last week, I didn't finish, so I'm picking up the last couple of points from last week from Proverbs 5 and continuing into Proverbs 31, and they weave together this morning as we focus on the book of Proverbs. Not to keep talking about politics, but another U.S. senator quoted from Proverbs this past week. I said, Proverbs is the end book to be studying. So you are studying the book of Proverbs and getting God's wisdom for the decisions of life. Now, you'll notice that Proverbs 31 begins with an insight into where this wisdom has come from. God, the Holy Spirit, guided the writing of his word, and look at the process, the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. I never noticed that before. Mom is the one God used to give an oracle. Do moms ever give oracles? Yeah, okay, you understand. And they don't just give suggestions, right? Oracle came to the king, Lemuel, for how he should live his life as a king. The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Well, his mom is giving these instructions to the king to give him wisdom for life. And I noticed that it begins with don't, and then it focuses on do. Notice her first instructions are what he should not be doing. Verse 3 says, do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for the kings of Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine. You know, it's telling her what not to do. And then she gives instructions what to do. And we find this instruction on finding an excellent wife. Who has wisdom to give a young man perspective on making a good choice about a wife? Mom does, that's right. She understands, and she gives wisdom. Volunteers here. Okay, she gives wisdom. So it goes from don't, do, and then it concludes with our ultimate accountability before the Lord. So let's work this through, and you'll see I'm picking up a few points that overlap from last week. We should keep away from tempting situations. Proverbs 5 said, and now, O sons, listen to me. Do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from the temptress, and do not go near the door of her house. And then Proverbs 31 says, do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. And you notice that Proverbs uses the term way or path to describe life. And it says there are two paths. There's a path of righteousness that leads to life, and there's a path of wickedness that leads to death. Two paths of life. And there's two Hebrew words that are used to describe that. We saw in Proverbs 5, we saw Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and we see it again in Proverbs 31. Which path are you on? Which direction are you going? And I've noticed, not to attribute it to any particular generation, but teenagers can sometimes ask this question, and I think some adults can too, how close can I get to the edge of the path and not fall off? Right? Do you notice that? Not how can I stay in the middle of the path, but how close can I get to the edge of the path? And she's saying, the Proverbs 5 says, don't get near the door of her house. Don't get close. Because when you're close, you're more vulnerable. So don't means keeping away from tempting situations. Of course, you know, the two great passages in the Bible about that are Joseph, when he's confronted with temptation from Potiphar's wife. What was his strategy? Run. Thank you, Dave. Run. The strategy wasn't, see, how can I kind of negotiate the situation? How can I, can we kind of figure this out together? No. Get out of there. Move away. Don't continue to expose. Don't go near the door of her house. Of course, he was in the house. And the other one is Paul speaking to Timothy. He says, flee youthful lusts. He doesn't say kind of meander away. He says, flee it. Move away. Don't hang around that setting. So the wisdom of given to Solomon and the wisdom given to King Lemuel is wisdom on what not to do. I've always used this illustration, bear with me. When you hang around the chocolate cake, when you contemplate the chocolate cake, when you keep looking at the chocolate cake, what happens to the chocolate cake? You eat the chocolate cake. You got it. So that's don't. People usually do not become unfaithful to their spouses because they do not know better, but they do so because they do not choose better. Choice. The question is not how close can I walk to the edge of the path, but how can I walk in the center of God's will? I learned this week the Billy Graham rule. I hadn't heard. I knew how Billy Graham functioned, but I didn't know that it's now called the Billy Graham rule. Have you heard of the Billy Graham rule? Billy Graham would never spend time alone with a woman other than his wife. He always placed that in a context of accountability. And now I understand Vice President Pence has a similar practice. And I heard recently that a police officer lost his employment because he said, I need to be in a setting where I will not be alone with a woman who's not my wife. It's an interesting application of not getting close to the edge. Lemuel's mother warned also against strong drink. She also warned against neglecting the needs of the poor, who are underrepresented in a kingdom, and allowing the influence of those with wealth to override the needs of the poor. Proverbs 14 wraps this up and says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. Proverbs 14:12. Or I like this translation, you may think you're on the right road and still end up dead. A list of don'ts, however, is not adequate. The scripture says, turn from, turn to, put off, put on, and the focus then turns what to do, not just avoid the don't. As we focus on the don't, sometimes we're drawn to the don't. This passage appears to be written to King Lemuel, who is, I don't know whether he's married or single, but I wanted to give advice to singles as well as guidance for married couples. Proverbs gives advice for singles. Many of our culture are single. More than half of our culture are single. And the way I like to say it, everyone in some portion of their life will be single. And regretfully, women will be single longer than men because we have a shorter lifespan. So singleness is part of life. And the singles are reminded of a principle in Proverbs of building godly friendships. Build godly friendships. Interesting, the same word for friend is the word used for spouse. Isn't that interesting? Have you ever had somebody say, oh, this is my wife, my best friend. I was having breakfast with my wife at a diner this week, and my dry cleaner is having dinner with his wife. And so I dropped off clothes to be cleaned at the end of the week, and he said, oh, it's nice to see you with your girlfriend. And I said, well, isn't it nice that your girlfriend is also your wife? I said, isn't that nice? Yeah, he said, oh, he said, that's wonderful. And I said, I saw you with your wife. Oh, you mean my girlfriend? No, he was teasing. The point, isn't it nice? Your friend is your wife. Your best friend is your wife. That's what Proverbs is saying. So the principles for friendship and developing a good friendship, thank you, Bill, you're with me, apply to your wife as well. So the advice to singles is develop godly friendships and use your giftedness and your flexibility of time to serve the Lord. You have a freedom and flexibility of serving as a single person. The advice then is an excellent wife who can find. She is more precious than jewels. King Lemuel's mom is giving him wisdom in choosing an excellent wife. It's hard to find an excellent wife. I think it's even harder to find an excellent husband. Have you noticed? Hard to find them. He's saying, you need to pursue that. And I always love the story I've told of Matt Pascal. You know my Matt Pascal story of where he met his wife? Where did he meet his wife? In Siberia. Can you imagine thinking, oh, I'm going to go find a wife. I'm going to go on a missions trip to Siberia. But in Siberia, this young man from San Diego meets a young lady on a mission trip to Siberia. And they went, oh, that one looks good. And they pursued that relationship. And what I met with a young man this week in terms of kind of mentoring him, I said, keep running the race of pursuing God, serving him. And if you look to the left and look to the right and see somebody running the same direction, that's a good person. That's a good person to join your life with. Pursue God, serve him, use your gifts, and then see if there's an excellent wife or an excellent husband on the same journey. I'm not going to develop through all of Proverbs 31, but I love this one qualification or description. Now, somebody suggested this is hyperbolic language. I would suggest to you men, this is not hyperbolic language because you found this one, okay? You remember that. Got it? Okay, you found, so it's not hyperbolic. Here's where it goes. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. And so I was picturing going to Price Chopper, getting your groceries. You pick out the very best, and you want the very best for your family. In that culture, she probably was developing domestic products as merchant ships were bringing specialties from around the world. They would barter for those goods and bring them home. She is a multi-talented lady, right? She's a businesswoman. She's socially conscious and helping the poor. And she is a very gifted person. But what was her most important quality? What was the quality that he ends with that kind of sums up the whole? She feared the Lord. She feared the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 30 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. The most important quality is to share the same priorities, the same values, the same center to who you are in your being, and that is your spiritual commitment. Most importantly, she fears the Lord. But how about guidance for married couples? I from Proverbs 5, we saw focus on your marriage. Be intoxicated. That's a great thing to translate. Be intoxicated with her love. Be faithful. Proverbs 31:11 says her husband has full confidence in her because she is honest, reliable, capable, and faithful. Proverbs 2 says, don't forsake the companion of your youth. That word companion is the word for friend used in that context for your spouse. Don't forsake the companion of your youth and forget the covenant of your God. Be focused, be faithful, enjoy your marriage. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. Rejoice. If I were to look at both the advice for singles and guidance for married couples, I believe Proverbs gives us counsel on cultivating relationship. Cultivating the relationship. There's a new book called Date Your Wife by Justin Buzzard. Since I'm not the most gifted romantic guy, I sent the 20 suggestions to my son and son-in-law that he writes in his book. And I've noticed that we have a tendency as guys, you really know how to win a woman when she's not your wife. You hold the door, you know flowers, you know when to call, you even listen as she's talking and say, now, and you share. And then you get married. And that same guy, he forgot. Oh, what did you say, dear? And it's the commitment needs to be renewed to date your wife. So that was the thought behind the book. Date your wife. Pursue her as if she's not yet your wife, and this is the next day you want to get married. Demonstrate that kind of passion and pursuit. So this article, which was better than I could say it, I wanted to share a little bit with you. Some of you, it's a few years ago, right? 50 years ago, 40 years ago for me. But some of you have recently married, and this particularly applies to those who have young children. The guy gets married, and then he goes off. He says, I want to conquer the world in my business and all that I want to accomplish. And we can be pulled apart. Little kids come along, and they tend to draw our attention, our focus, sometimes to the neglect of our relationship with our spouse. So this article seemed to kind of throw insights into that. So carry with me on this. She is the most beautiful creature I have ever seen. You thought when you first laid eyes on that gorgeous woman you now call your wife. She is beautiful, smart, and sophisticated. You pursued her like she was royalty, picking her up for dates, holding doors open, bringing flowers, cooking dinners, the ring, the beautiful wedding. Finally, she became yours. Fast forward to today. She is still the love of your life, but dating her is like running through an obstacle course. The babies you had together are both delightful and terror. You lean in for a kiss, but you get pushed away by the envious one-year-old in your wife's arm. You hug her, and the toddler clings to your leg because they also want a hug. You try to have a conversation, and every 30 seconds you get... I've seen this recently. for my children and grandchildren. You get interrupted with someone wanting milk, apple juice, crackers, Cheerios, and of course the inevitable diaper change. You make plans to go out for dinner, and one of the kids gets sick. Perhaps at last, you decide on an in-home date. You pick out something on Netflix. You've maybe made some pizza or popcorn, and you lean back together. And as the movie progresses into that romantic moment, you hear beside you, oh. But despite this, you, the husband, are her rock star and best friend. Your affirmation and support means the world to her. You notice at the end of Proverbs, he says her husband praises her. I love that. We need encouragement. He praises her. He's building her up. It's so important. However, with the kids around, maintaining a happy and strong relationship isn't as easy with all the new changes in your life. I hadn't learned this part. I'm a little slow. Research shows that your wife's brain is changing in pregnancy and motherhood. Dr. Kim, in a study in 2010, shows that her brain is actually growing. Specifically, the gray matter in the prefrontal cortex, parietal lobes, midbrain areas increases, which is associated with the mother's positive perception of her baby. A more recent study completed by Dr. Heksema, published in 2016, indicates that the gray matter in areas associated with social cognition, where we store, process, and use information about other people, decreases. In contrast, there's a pruning effect that results in a mother's focused attachment to her baby. Any man coming home after his wife's had a baby knows he just went down a notch, maybe several notches, because there's a focus. There's a God-given physiological transformation taking place, and it reflects on dopamine and oxytocin. Create the in-love feeling that keeps the mom's motivation and focus to take care of the tiny human being who keeps stealing her sleep. Now, one study suggests there's a diminishing ability to memorizing words during that time. Others suggest sleep deprivation is what's causing it. That being said, she may be more forgetful and absent-minded with certain aspects of life, but she's also a mental genius when it comes to your children's needs, schedules, and even keeping up with the dirty diapers. But it's up to both of you to continue to devote time to each other and maintain the relationship. Dating is a great way to keep the love alive. It is essentially spending quality time together, doing something you both enjoy while catching up on each other's lives. Dating will not just keep you both close to each other, but will have the positive effect of modeling a strong and healthy relationship for your children, thus creating a happy home, which is the greatest gift you can give to your children. Is that relationship between you and your husband. The amazing thing about parenting is that you're both doing it together. So naturally, you're planning things you can do with your kids. However, spending time together, just the two of you, is just as important as playing with the kids. And going on an actual date or having an at-home date is a great way to maintain the fun and closeness. I'll just come to the end. It can be difficult to make time for yourself and for each other when you have children, but it's also a great time to grow together in a new way. Make sure to continue building your friendship. Notice the word friendship was used for marriage, and keep going on dates, which can be fun, romantic, and will keep your relationship strong. So here's the premise. Focus on the marriage. The challenge that we're receiving from Proverbs is that that friendship with my spouse is to be constant. A friend loves at all times. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Be caring. Be encouraging. Proverbs chapter 31, 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. He praises her. Be candid. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. We need the accountability of our spouse. We need the accountability in the body of Christ. People don't like that. We've got a kind of a turning away from the accountability that we need from each other for our walk with God, to be closer to Him. We don't like to be challenged. Proverbs 14 says, the wisest of women builds up her house. We need the insights and godly perspective of our wife. King Lemuel's mom says, don't go off with other women. Don't go after excessive drink. Don't be so influenced by the wealthy that you neglect the poor. But then she says, do pursue a godly wife. Pursue an excellent wife. And then both passages, chapter 5 and chapter 31, conclude with our accountability is ultimately before God. We're accountable to Him. In Proverbs chapter 31, the quality describes as she fears the Lord. She has a humble recognition before God. She recognizes who she is in the light of who God is. Proverbs chapter 5 said, for a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he, that is the Lord, ponders all his paths. We are to live in the presence of God. Or what puts it together for me has become kind of my theme verse as I've been reflecting on Proverbs 3 and frankly probably a theme verse for this year of my life, and that is trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. He not only will tell us which direction to go in, but it also make our paths smooth or straight, other translations say. We need to trust in Him, not on our own understanding, put all of our decisions in the light of acknowledging Him, and He will guide our paths. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the wisdom of Proverbs. We live in a world that lacks wisdom. Help us, by your Holy Spirit, to receive your wisdom for our lives. Help us, each one today. There's some today on the path to life, and regretfully, some on the path to death. Help each one of us to be drawn to the path of life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I pray that each one of us would have that relationship with Jesus Christ that will lead to life eternal. I pray that each one who's come today, if there's a need on their heart, would come for prayer, would come to bring their need before you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.